Group and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians.
I'm Luz Maria Frias, Deputy Attorney General with the State of Minnesota. Any comments and opinions that I've stated are strictly my own and should not be attributed to my employer.
And our special guest,
Sarah Lancaster, Minnesota 2022 Teacher of the Year.
Thanks for joining us. This has been Counter Stories, a co-production of the Counter Stories crew, The Other Media Group, and Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For a full conversation, please visit counterstories.com.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You can burn a whole thing down. I don't care if you're uncomfortable, we can burn a whole thing down. Couldn't care about an AutoZone, you can burn a whole thing down. Y'all don't really care about a brother till we burn a whole thing down. Yeah, we about to go to work, yeah, we about to let it burn. Like Cyndaquil, yeah, I bet you will. Tried to skip it, they've been lynching us since Emmett Till. And that's really freaking generous, cause honestly, they have been killing us since we were property. No stopping me from saying how it is. This ain't the whiz, ain't no easing down the road where we live. That's the biz, we can't go out for a jog or a swim. Walk a dog, fall asleep in the car, fall asleep where we live. So we bout to let it burn just like Usher say. They be trying but I do not care what Gusher say. Putting black screens up, make a few bucks. My life isn't marketing, yo, who you think you trying to play?
I liked it better when like nerdy was all fun and stuff. This is really angry, like don't you think you said enough?
Well that's freaking tough cause I'm being loud. And the people are not playing with you now. Yeah, you can burn a whole thing down. Yeah, I don't care if you're uncomfortable, we can burn a whole thing down. Zone. You can burn a whole thing down.
Burn it down, down.
Y'all don't really care about a brother till we burn a whole thing down.
Burn it down, 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 down.
Yeah, we about to go to work. Yeah, we about to let it burn.
Bro, come on, the youngin's what I'm focused on. I'm so old and golden, I ain't know you was talking about Pokemon. But I'm more like me and nerdy next to a burnt down system with a can full of gas and a handful of matches. I know we ain't missing. Fame is not my mission. Lanes be so complicit. Watching all the leaders leading, banking on they minions. But we torching up the takers and we giving to survivors. City of liars making black people compliant. Coon Rapids, who are you asking? I'm proof, survive the boom bap trick. Bro, ethics got me laughing at your message. And if black lives matter, you would not get so defensive. We got cops and thieves and robberies and gaslighters. We are not the same, we on the scene, we pass typing. Cause y'all don't care about us and we ain't come to ask. We just mind our business and then people be so stuck and mad. So pass the gun and mask and pass the ethanol. Y'all can really kill us for anything, y'all just bend the laws. This ain't performance art, this ain't performative. Saving the racist heteronormative. You can burn the whole thing down.
I don't care if you're uncomfortable, we can burn the whole thing down.
You can burn it, burn it, burn it down.
Couldn't care about an AutoZone, you can burn the whole thing down.
Down.
Y'all don't really care about a brother till we burn the whole thing down.
Burn it down.
Yeah, we about to go to work, yeah, we about to let it burn.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
And that's on that, on that, on that. So, welcome this week. I am DJ, your agent or host. I use they, them pronouns.
What's up, y'all? Francisco, I'm a new storyteller on the show. Super happy to be here.
Yeah, and with that, we're going to jump straight on to the weekly news recap. So go ahead.
All right, babe. Well, first of all, I just want to thank DJ, you know. for thinking of me as like a local storyteller that they trust to, you know, come on here and speak to y'all. So, you know, this is the first week I'm gonna be on here every second Wednesday of the month. And my segment will be about, you know, environmental issues, and we're gonna be talking about them through an intersectional lens. So we're gonna be talking about things like, you know, environmental genocide, environmental racism, cultural genocide, you know, and how all these things relate to our daily lives, but then try to go, you know, deeper into like maybe the science part sometimes. Other times we'll be going more into like current stories that are going on. And this week I just wanted to start with like some foundational, you know, information to kind of kick off my segment, and I think it's poignant with the United Nations Climate Conference coming up here in November. It's about a month away, and so I just kind of wanted to talk about some of the false solutions that these climate conferences have offered in the past, and that some people have really bought into, including myself for a little minute, until, you know, some people started to correct me on some things, and I kind of opened my eyes about, you know, what these whole conferences are about. So this week I'm just gonna kind of dive into it, try not to get too technical with it, but I think speak about some things that not that many people are talking about too much. So I think when we think about these climate conferences, it's easier to picture like a bunch of environmentalists there and stuff, and people getting together like, oh, how are we gonna best, you know, serve the environment? How are we gonna change things around? Because I think a lot of us realize by now that we're living within a volatile climate, and it's our Mother Earth that's really just trying to adjust and reorient itself and really survive out here. And because it's gonna be living with or without us. But yeah, we picture these climate conferences, a bunch of environmentalists coming together, but really it's a lot of corporations, it's a lot of oil lobbyists, it's a lot of natural gas lobbyists who are coming together, and they're the people who this is accessible to, the people who have the money to travel, they're the people who have the money to, you actually have to buy space within the walls of the conference to even be able to speak. They're always in countries where it's difficult to get, visas to travel to these countries, and so it's usually these oil lobbyists and the world powers who are really coming up with these things like the Paris Climate Agreement, the key and things like that, like that we've heard of. And I wanted to go back into 1997 when the Kyoto Protocol was first introduced, and that was the first time that we were talking about carbon pricing, carbon trading, and it's basically putting a price tag on emissions. It's telling us how much we can each nation or each corporation can produce, and then some terms were introduced called like cap and trade. So it's talking about There were caps put on to corporations. There were caps put on to nations, and those told those nations and corporations, okay, you are allotted this much carbon that you can pollute into the atmosphere. And then what came along with that was this whole other trading aspect to it, where corporations and nations could actually trade how much carbon that they were going to pollute with each other. So say one corporation is like, oh, I'm actually going to be a little short this year. They could actually sell that pollution to a different corporation that can in turn increase their emissions that year. And with this whole thing, with the trading and stuff, it actually never balanced out to zero, because there's a whole nother part of it, which is like these projects which basically say that they're reducing carbon, and they're called carbon offset projects. So it's things like carbon capture, it's things like these folks are literally going into indigenous communities and buying their land, buying their forests, and saying, oh, this forest is going to secrete 200 million tons of carbon this year, so then I can increase my carbon emissions by that same amount. And what's actually happening in a lot of places in the world right now with all these forest fires and these forest seasons being out of control is it's happening right now in reservations in California where indigenous nations sold or traded or allowed these corporations to come in and buy these forests, and then their forests burned down, and now the corporations are holding the indigenous communities and saying you actually need to replace these forests that burned down. And it's just another example of indigenous land being stolen, and now it's not by countries and nations, but it's actually by corporations. And then I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about this whole carbon tax, because there's just a lot of ways that these honestly bogus climate conferences has come and been like, all right, we're gonna like put a stop to this, but it's really really all a farce. And like with this carbon tax, I think they're just lying when they say they expect that a carbon tax is gonna stop a corporation from polluting, because they know what's really and what is happening is we put a tax on them. We're like, okay, you can pollute this much, and then these corporations know that they're gonna pollute more, and they actually just figure it out in their budget, just figure it out in their bottom line. They cut wages to the workers, they pass it off on the consumers, they bust the unions to take away things like benefits and healthcare, and it's really just all coming down to the bottom dollar. And so that's just all to say that like we cannot continue to be like bamboozled by this whole net zero nonsense, because it's all trying to say that we can balance out the emissions. But in reality, when we look at it and when we really think about it, these corporations aren't actually cutting their emissions at all. And I think a really like clear example of it is if you go on ConocoPhillips' website, which is they're an oil company. They mine and they drill and they process oil. And if you go on their website and go onto their like little investor part for their website, you can actually look at a little graph they have for like, oh, this is what we're doing to reach net zero by 2050. Like they have all these little things that they're up to. And it's just so clear, like this company that is, all they do is burn oil is going to be able to reach net zero. And it's just like, you look at that and it's so clear that like this whole net zero thing is just, it's not sustainable at all, and it's basically just a way to lie to the people and say that they're were environmentally conscious, or whatever. And so I think as this climate conference is coming up, we all have to just be really aware of these false solutions that they're going to be trying to push onto us. And just to be fighting back, because really the only way that this planet is going to be able to move in the right direction is if we're all able to go tap back into, you know, our own ancestral knowledge. And I think a lot of people have a tendency to try to tap into somebody else's ancestral knowledge, but if we really go into it, like each one of us has ancestral knowledge in us, no matter like if we're black, white, brown, anything in between. If you really go back to your people, you know, we were all once living off the land, and that's really the only way that we're going to be able to prosper and live on this earth for much longer, is if we recognize that. And I know people say this all the time, but like the work really starts with each one of us, and it's tough to sometimes go back and try to uncover what your ancestors were up to, how they were living, you know, with their first mother who was Mother Earth, and how they were honoring Father Sky. But that's really the only way forward, and sometimes it's difficult, but But I think that's really the only way that we're going to be able to move forward from this. And we really have to take take accountability for the earth that we're living on, because if we continue to let these corporations and these lobbyists define what environmentalism is, it's going to continue to be based in capitalism. It's going to continue to be based in exploitation of not only the land, but the people. And yeah, I'm wondering if anybody has any thoughts on any of this.
Yeah, and I really just agree with you that, like, a lot of these conferences, all of these conferences are performative, and, you know, the crazy thing is that the performance isn't even convincing, right? It's like, we talk about the Paris Agreement, like, and all that, like, all of that is a pinky promise that we're going to do something. Like, there's nothing even keeping these countries to hold their word. I mean, like, there was this whole thing where they're like, Trump pulled out of the pinky promise. We need someone to get in there. The pinky promise that we're going to do this thing that we know they're not going to do. And I'm like, okay, is this organized? Like, you know, like
exactly.
Like, it's just absolutely crazy. You know, and then to see the whole performance of the United Nations. Like, if you go to their, like, YouTube or, like, well, like, they act like they're really doing stuff. I'm like, y'all can't even pass anything that, like, actually matters. Like, y'all just pass pinky promises that everyone knows people are going to break. And
exactly. And when the consequences to breaking these things are financial penalties, these corporations, I mean, they got all the money in the world, so they're not really worried about it. And really the only way that we're going to be able to hold people accountable to this is if we start to respect nature the way that, you know, and stop treating it like property, stop treating our mother like property, and say if someone is harming nature, is harming, you know, our four-legged, our winged, our finned relatives, you know, they need to be held accountable in a way past, you know, financial accountability, because it's clearly not working. And like DJ was saying, these are all pinky promises, that are ultimately used to even bolster these exploitative industries and then divide the people even more across political lines, just so that we got something to talk about, and a little bit of controversy that's gonna keep us apart. And that kind of brings me back to the whole carbon trading thing. It's another way that these global powers are trying to tear communities apart, because they'll come into indigenous communities. They know exactly when the tribal the tribal leaders were changed. They know the schedule, so they come in. Let's say they change this month. They come in, and then they promise some of the leaders who are running, who are going to be appointed next, who's next up. They say they're going to give them a check, and then they're like, oh yeah, keep it on the hush hush or whatever. And then if whoever's coming in isn't responsible, because, you know, money corrupts, isn't responsible, it's a way that these corporations are able to garner more power by dividing the people, because the money isn't being distributed equally across the nation. In a lot of these circumstances.
Yeah, and it's all about maintaining the illusion. That's what capitalism is, that there's something that's going on to stop the issues at hand. You know, that's why the cops are here to, one, protect private property, but create this illusion that people are safe, even though we know that cops don't make neighborhoods safer, right? It just creates this illusion. And then you see stuff like, when the cops won't go into schools when there's an active shooter, and then that kind of breaks the